In Genesis chapter 22, we have the first time the English word worship. Now we see earlier in Genesis it says men began to call upon the name of the Lord, but we have what is often referred to as the law of first reference. So when you come to the first reference of something, the word for worship in Hebrew is shahah, which really it means to bow down. And so worship has to do with bowing down, not necessarily physically, but we see a lot of that physically with idols. When people go and they would just bow down before images of gold there. But whenever we bow before the Lord, we do it with a heart and with reverence to Him. The English word worship comes from a word having to do with worth. And the worship comes from that, so that there is worthiness, the worth-ship of Him that we worship there. Well, we look over to John before we start, a familiar passage. I have it up here for you so you can see it. Jesus with the woman at the well, she said to Him, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Let's pray. Father, help us tonight as we worship, and in each of our worship services and our private worship, that it might be honoring to You. Whether we're bowing down physically or not, that in our hearts the humility and the reverence because of who You are and all that You do for us, that You would receive the glory. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Think about the idea of worship, and let me give you two scenarios of worship from church settings. Let's say they have a church service and someone comes out and testifies and said, "We had a great service today. We had singing, we have testimonies, and it went on, and it went so long that we didn't even have time for the preacher to preach the message. It was like we had revival and everyone was stirred and it was exciting there. Then you have another setting where there's, instead of going on for 2 or 3 hours, it was just an hour at the most, and they had traditional hymns and a message from God's Word, and people left feeling maybe inspired, maybe challenged some. In which of those two cases did worship occur? Maybe both, maybe neither. There's something that both of those have in common, though. Both of those talked about how the people left feeling or what they had gained from it. But neither one of those examples that I gave mentioned anything about what God thought about the service. And that's what worship is worship is directed to God. Now, it's a good thing that we can leave challenged or blessed or inspired, excited or whatever, that we get something from it. But that's not the primary purpose of worship. Worship is directed to God. So we don't design our worship services around what we like, what we feel is good. And it's hard for any of us to say, what does God like? What is His favorite? What is he pleased with most? What kind of service? But we want our service to honor the Lord. We don't want it to be boring, obviously, but neither do we want it just to be emotionalism without content. It's not just to be, you know, thunder without the rain coming down that nourishes there. Don't want it to be like a boy was thinking whenever he went to a funeral and they were honoring him because he was a veteran and trying to figure out what was going on. The little boy asked his mom, said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, he died in service, and so he's being honored." And he looked at him and said, "Did he die in the morning service or the evening service?" You know, well, sometimes maybe the worship service, that's the way we feel there, but we want it to be honoring to the Lord. And we have 7 things in this passage that we'll see tonight that are involved in worship. The first one is in verse 1. Let me read the story, just a few verses, and we'll catch each one of these verses. We're only going to go through verse 14 this evening. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. We sang the song, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And so here's God speaking to Abraham, and he says, here am I there. And God is giving a commandment to him. And he says to him, take thine own son, Abraham. And Ishmael had been already sent away, as we saw last week, whenever Sarah said, cast away the bondwoman and her son. And now God is telling Abraham to take his only son that's left. Of course, he is the son of the promise, but God is making it very clear what he is to do. God didn't come to him like he comes to us today through his word and the Holy Spirit speaking to us. God came to him and spoke specifically and directly and said, take Isaac, your son, and sacrifice him there. And so this commandment to Abraham must have been hard to receive here, that he's going to offer his only son to the Lord. Well, worship involves a commandment. God has told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, to come and to worship and fellowship, but also worship involves a cost. In verse 2, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And so he doesn't tell Abraham to go and offer something to God that he doesn't care about. He says, I want you to take your son whom thou lovest. Remember David, I'll read from 2 Samuel 24, and you'll remember the story when David was going to make a sacrifice, and Arana said to him, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arana said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Behold, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, and the threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these did Arana as a king give unto the king. And Arana said to the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king, David, said to him, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and his oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and he built the altar there. And so David says, I'm not going to come and offer something to the Lord that doesn't cost me anything. And so whenever we make a sacrifice to the Lord and we give something to the Lord and we think about the sacrifices we make, and it's not even really worthy to be talked about as sacrifices when we think about what the Lord has sacrificed for us. But sometimes there are things that we would rather be doing, but we lay aside the things that we want to do, and we come and honor the Lord. Super Bowl Sunday night is a sacrifice for some people that love football, you know, and they give it up and they come to worship the Lord. Not a sacrifice for me, because I really don't care for football. And a World Series, when that's on, that's a sacrifice, you know, when I have to do that, you know. And there are things that we want, but if it's something we don't want, that we don't love, is really not a cost, is it? But here, Abraham has this cost, his only son, Isaac, as he's going to offer the Lord for a sacrifice. Well, a third thing that's offered and included in worship is that of compliance. Notice in verse 3, after God said, take your son and go sacrificing, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up, and he went unto the place of which God had told him. So God said, go and do this, and Abraham, early the next morning. He didn't delay. He went and did what God had told him to do. And every act of obedience is really worship. Whether we are obeying the Lord and witnessing to someone who's lost, whether we are giving of our tithes and offerings to the Lord, whether we are praying or reading our Bible, any command that the Lord has given to us, when we obey what he's told us to do, we are in fact worshiping the Lord when we are compliant to what he tells us to do. And Abraham was doing that. Well, it also involves commitment. Verse 4, it says, then on the third day, I don't know if this was intended or not, but I think of the third day, you know, and we know that Abraham knew that somehow God was going to raise him up because God had already promised him that the seed would come through Isaac, and that can't happen if Isaac's dead. So Abraham didn't fully understand, but he was still obedient. And the third day, of course, is when the Lord raised Jesus from the dead. So on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. He saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. There's the word, worship. And we will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And you see Isaac here taking the wood on which he is going to be sacrificed. And we know in the scripture that Isaac is a type of Christ. And in the New Testament, we see Jesus carrying the wood, Jesus carrying the cross on which he would be sacrificed. And verse 7, Isaac, and here's the commitment here. Isaac spake to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And so in this commitment, there was some preparation. Whenever we come to worship the Lord, we have this commitment. There should be a preparation of our hearts, a preparation of our mind. He's taking the fire. He didn't have a box of matches in his pocket, and he was going to wait till he got up to the top of the mountain. They carried the fire with them whenever they had the tabernacle and moved it around. And so Abraham has the fire. He has the wood. He has the knife. He's making this preparation, and he is committed to doing what God has told him to do. He's going up to the mountain where God has told him to do, and Isaac, his son, questions him about the sacrifice. But notice the servants. They never did. They didn't ask Abraham, where's the sacrifice there? And we don't question God either. We might not fully understand, but we're going to be obedient. And of course, the son asked, and Abraham has an answer for him in verse 8. And we see that worship also involves confidence or faith, trust in God. Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide himself a lamb. And so there's such great theological emphasis here where the lamb is representing Christ, and God offered himself a lamb, verse 8, for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife, and here he was all the way to the last second. Sometimes God does that to us, doesn't he? He takes us all the way to the last second. We're waiting, and Abraham is trusting, and he knew that somehow God was going to work it out. And it's important for us, as I said earlier, to understand that when God came to Abraham, he came verbally and told Abraham what to do. It was not some notion that he had, oh, I think this will be a good way to show everybody that I'm faithful. God specifically told him to do this, and he is obedient. And so we see, drop down a little bit, and he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And you think about what that means. And if I were to ask you, most of you probably remember and would say it means God will provide. There, because that's what Abraham said in verse 8. He said, my son, God will provide. And that is an application of the word Jehovah Jireh, but that's not really what the word means. If you look down to verse 14, you will see what the word actually means. It says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see to it. And it means he will provide because he's going to see to it that it's done. But whenever Abraham was going and taking his son Isaac, he knew that God somehow was going to see to it that his promise was fulfilled. And Abraham had confidence in God. And whenever we come to worship, we come trusting God. Well, we also see a sixth thing involved in worship is commendation. God is going to commend Abraham there in verse 11. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Because he saw Abraham willing to give his heart's throb, the son that he loved, the son of his old age, the son of promise, he was willing to give that to the Lord. And God says to Abraham, I know now that you fear the Lord. And the question we ask ourselves, or should ask ourselves, does God know that about me? As he knows that about Abraham, what is the proof? Abraham's proof was he was willing to give up the thing that was most dear to him. And our worship for the Lord, we must be willing to give up whatever we can to serve the Lord. We must be obedient, as Abraham was when God told him to do. He got up the next morning and he obeyed. Every act of obedience is worship to God. And the last thing we'll see this evening is in verse 13 that's involved in worship. It says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. He looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram, and he offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Do you think Abraham was expecting to find a ram? No. He didn't know what he was going to find. But he knew that God was going to see to it, Jehovah Jireh. Somehow, God was going to see to it that his son was the son of promise, as God had told him. And in that last phrase, in the stead of his son, whenever we worship the Lord, there's always the cross that is in view, because it was a substitutionary death. And that's what it was here. Abraham is going to offer Isaac, but God had a substitute, and it was the ram. And this is a picture of Christ as well, where he was a substitute in our stead. And so whenever we come and worship, we worship at the foot of the cross. That is the place of sacrifice. We don't go to Mount Moriah, as the woman on the well said to Jesus, you know, we worship at this mountain. You say you ought to worship there. We worship in spirit at Mount Calvary, at the foot of the cross. For there is where Christ died in our stead. His son, God's son, died for us there on Mount Calvary. And whenever we come to worship the Lord, it's not so much about what we get out of it. though it's wonderful that we could get something out of the worship, but worship should lift him up because he was lifted up on the cross for us. And as we worship the Lord, let's do so with a mindset that wants to exalt Christ because he died in our stead, a sacrifice for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come tonight to worship, we worship in songs, we worship in fellowship, we worship in the word as it is proclaimed. And Lord, our hearts rejoice in who you are and what you've done. What a wonderful picture that we see of Abraham and Isaac and what you have done for us. Help us as we continue to study this chapter next week that we would understand more of your sacrifice for us and how we can better worship you the way that you want to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.